This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Now that it seems spring is finally here for good, it's time to see what kind of shape your yard and garden are in, plan what you'd like to grow this year, and take steps now that will make caring for your plants, trees, and lawns much easier this summer. Joining us with suggestions on what you can do now to get the most out of your yards and gardens this year, and to answer your gardening questions, are Campbell County Extension Office Horticulture Agent Sarah Stoles, Community Garden Manager with Turner Farm Joshua Jones, and Boone County Cooperative Extension Horticulture Agent David Kester. And David, Sarah, and Josh, good to see you this afternoon.
Thanks everybody for being here.
Let's start off by talking about, David, you know, what should gardeners be doing at this point?
Well, it's still a little bit early for, you know, it's a great time to be planting. And obviously we are at Arbor Day. It was the first Friday in Kentucky in April, and it's the last Friday in Ohio. But now is, and the reason that Arbor Day was, you know, brought about was because it's different in every state, and it's those dates that are the most conducive to planting. And so we are right in that period right now where making changes to your landscape, adding shrubs, trees, things like that. Great time to be doing that. And just, you know, getting ready for the spring, maybe improving your soil somewhat, adding compost. A lot of people, I've been out to the garden centers, and everybody's buying mulch, and it's a good time to be mulching as long as you do not overdo it. And, you know, 2-3 inches maximum is what we recommend as mulch, and a lot of great organic materials that you can put down, and that will improve the soil as they decay. Those are the kind of things that we ought to be doing. And of course, it's getting to be grass cutting season, so you want to get that lawnmower out and get it going very soon.
What are some good materials? You talked about organic material for mulching. What are some good types of mulch?
I love the bark materials, like the pine bark, and I actually use pine bark fines as a soil amendment as well as a mulch, but you can get a little bit bigger nuggets. And the pine bark material, I like that. And of course, cypress mulch, and there's all kinds of bark that's been composted somewhat, the really dark material that people like. I think, you know, it's got a million different names, black platinum and all that. Those are all fine mulches. I think they're a little bit too fine for my preference, and they sometimes will mat down. But one of my favorite mulches, which is expensive to buy, but pine needles, I think those are just wonderful. It's a wonderful mulch. They don't deteriorate very quickly, and they also don't go off color. They keep that color, and I love pine needles.
And a couple of weather-related things too, David. Are we? Is it too wet right now to start planting?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, tomorrow we're going to be in the mid-80s, I think, and sunny, and then Thursday we get into some rain. So obviously, if you can do it in the next day or so, you'll be fine. But I was digging last night, and it was a little bit wet. But I could certainly plant roses and things like that, and that's what I was doing last night.
And do we still have the potential of freezing weather?
Is that still a concern? Oh, we sure do. Absolutely. You know, usually here it's about May 10th or so when we feel like you're out of the woods as far as a freezer or a frost, and so we've got a little bit of time yet.
Sarah, what are your thoughts? Things that gardeners can be doing right now?
You know, as far as lawn care, it's very cyclic in our office. We get these phone calls. Certain parts of the season, we get a lot of phone calls now at this time of year about lawn care. So I just want to remind folks, make sure you've sharpened your blade. You always want to have really good tools that you're working with, clean and sharp. And then really just want to focus on not fertilizing or putting any chemicals on your lawn at this time of year. It's not the correct time. So understanding that. Fall is the best time to put down fertilizer if you need it. Even this time of year, if you're doing any type of lawn renovation, you want to wait till the fall of the year as well. There's too many weed competition, and, you know, the fescue blend turf that you're most likely planting will not be as successful as if you were to do it in the fall. So, and David really nailed it on, you know, as far as vegetables. We're getting a lot of our perennials in. A lot of the nurseries are now getting a lot of their perennials. So we're selecting those, getting those in, deadheading a lot of our perennials, getting those ready. Ornamental grasses, you know, we like to keep those up in the winter. It creates habitat for the wildlife and food source. And then we just bundle them up, cut them back, and you should start seeing the new foliage emerging, and that's kind of where you go down to on your ornamental grasses. So, you know, as far as fruit care, you know, most of them have already bloomed and the petals have fallen, so a lot of diseases have been occurring on our fruit trees. Unfortunately, spraying those is not the correct time for most diseases at this time of year. With a lot of wet weather, a lot of foliar fungi and overwintering sites of our fungal spores, they love this weather. So, you know, if you're planning or if you're thinking about on this Arbor Day planting some fruit trees, make sure you get good cultivars, good varieties, and understanding your spray schedule. And if you want to do it organically, there's also a spray schedule for that as well.
I think the term you used was deadheading. Was that deadheading perennials?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
So just cutting back any of last year's growth, for example. So, you know, a lot of times we deadhead back, you know, our some of our shade perennials that we're doing now, like our hostas, our ferns, our hydrangeas. You should have done, or it can still be done, maybe some of your red twig dogwoods, anything like that that has maybe herbaceous or semi-woody stems on them, maybe like flower stalks from last year. I like to keep them throughout the winter because it adds interest, it adds habitat. So we're just deadheading all that back as the new foliage emerges. And, yeah, and we're always adding to the landscape. You know, things do die, so we're, you know, doing that. Oh, one other thing, sorry. You know, most of our tulips and things have already bloomed. So, unfortunately, in our garden, we give them a one-year cycle. So they're more of an annual for us. So tulips, they don't really have a long shelf life in the garden. Maybe you could get a few years out of them, but we go ahead and pull those out. Or you, if you want to keep them in your garden, you can let them brown as much as possible, and then you can deadhead those or cut those back too.
You mentioned, too, waiting to fertilize your lawn till fall. What Correct. About aeration, though? Is this a good time of year to aerate?
Well, you're kind of in a pickle here as long as it's not, too wet. Because you never want to further compact your soil. So, yeah, you can in the fall and in the spring. Is that right, David? You want to aerate your soil in your lawn. It just gives more oxygen and air exchange, and then it allows it helps with the compaction, or I guess reduces the compaction to allow those roots elongate into the soil. So it gives it better drought tolerance.
It's really surprising how effective that can be when people aerate. And I work with some athletic fields, and they will aerate 4 or 5 times a year. And it's just a wonderful practice. And a lot of times they'll do that in association with doing some reseeding at that time. Mm-hmm. When they bring that core up to the surface, put some seed down, and they'll, you know, it'll fill the areas in for them.
And that's been my personal experience. I mean, my yard looked terrible until I had somebody come in and aerate it and reseed it. And it was just like miraculous how much it perked up.
Yep. No chemicals needed.
Right. Josh, what do you suggest this time of year for
so
folks
right
to be
now,
working on?
So right now, the unusually hot spring that we've had has kind of been a double-edged sword. It's been good that it's allowed the soil to dry out for a few days at a time. So we've been able to get into our soil and aerate it using broad forks and things like that for kind of getting our springtime prep in order to plant all of our plants. I have actually just this morning, I was planting some of the cold hardy brassicas, our broccoli, our kohlrabi, a lot of kale varieties are already going in. We started those in the greenhouse a little bit earlier and put those in. I think tomorrow I plan on planting potatoes if it's going to be dry enough. So if we do get a cold spell, then I will plant or I'll put row cover over that to protect it from some of the frost. But right now, while the plants are small, you're still able to cover them. So we're not too concerned with maybe one or two frosts that we might get. And then I've been seeding a lot of radishes, things like that. Again, some things that can take these mid-30-degree temperatures if we do get there again. So there's still work to be done. We've been doing a lot of soil amending, adding compost to the rows, rebuilding the rows. It's kind of a staging period in our community gardens right now. Mm-hmm.
Again, you can join us 513-419-7100. If you have any gardening questions, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And we got a question from Kristen, who wanted to know if you had any tips for getting rid of honeysuckle.
Ooh. So, yes, and I've been a labor of that many of times, and I think I'll continue to be the labor of that. So this is a really good time especially the new growth is emerging. That's the most sensitive. And why it's invasive is it blooms early, it sets flower early, and then it stays forever. And so it outcompetes a lot of our native plant life. And so with that said, this time, if you want to cut it back at this time of year, you keep cutting. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to prevent or reduce photosynthesis occurring. So that occurs on the foliage, right? And then over time, photosynthesis, it stores the sugar down in the roots for next year's production or life cycle. If you choose to use an herbicide, if you use full concentrate glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in the brand name like Roundup, I'm not recommending spraying it, but I recommend using a paintbrush and painting it right on the stub. So it's a two-person job, if not more. So rally up some neighborhood kids, make them some Kool-Aid or nice local, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwich or, you know, whatever it may be. But, you know, someone's in front of you cutting it, and then someone's behind you with a paintbrush and applying it. So spraying is a good time. And then just, it's not a one-time application, I'll tell you that, multiple times.
I worked with a professor at Northern Kentucky University, and he was doing some work with the Ammer honeysuckle. And he actually found out that it carries out photosynthesis as effectively in the shade as it does in full sun. So that just makes it a really, really difficult plant to control and one that is really adaptive to our forest situations.
And on these spring rains, you know, it's hard for us to get into our gardens and work after a nice spring rain. But what it does allow us to do is weed and pull things very effectively and get the entire root system. Mm-hmm. So someone on some of these smaller honeysuckles, I go through and pull after a hard rain because that's going to get up the most of the root system. And it's a bit more effective than cutting back. But, you know, on these large things, the only option is to cut back, like Sarah said, and just keep cutting and cutting and cutting as you go.
I've had the opportunity to use a tool called a weed wrench, and it's pretty nifty. It's kind of
a weed wrench.
A weed wrench. It's, okay. I don't see it often. You have to order it through like an arboriculture type or like an environmental magazine. But, you know, they come in different sizes depending upon the caliper size of the honeysuckle that you're trying to remove. So as Joshua mentioned, I mean, the smaller, you know, caliper, you can just hand pull that out, making sure you get all the roots. But sometimes, I mean, they get, you know, two, if not larger. I mean, sometimes, I mean, they're like tree size, you know? So you want to make sure you get the appropriate tools to really anchor that out. I mean, it's kind of like taking out your wisdom teeth. I mean, you're really putting it in there. But it feels so good to get it out of the soil.
It really does.
Where do you get a weed wrench from?
Well, like I said, when I worked for the University of Kentucky, we had them, so I did not order them. But you can, I've seen them in catalogs, arboriculture catalogs, environmental catalogs. So if you need help, they're not cheap. So as a homeowner, this may not be something, but. Either way, let me know, and I can do a quick search for you and maybe even call some of my colleagues down at UK. So.
Because you're right. It does sound like it'd be satisfying.
Oh, it's like rewarding, you know. It's like, oh, this is refreshing.
To pull out one of those really big guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then you feel really strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will continue our gardening conversation. You can join us with your questions at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.
Support for Cincinnati Edition comes from the Johnson Foundation, a private grant-making foundation committed to increasing the vibrancy of Cincinnati's urban core. More information at johnson-foundation.org. Support comes from Sunspot Pool and Patio, featuring fine outdoor casual furniture from manufacturers like Brown Jordan, Telescope, and Woodard. With over 300 groupings in stock and 40 years of experience, the product consultants at Sunspot Pool and Patio will help you create your own one-of-a-kind outdoor environment. Located at I-75 and Galbraith Road or sunspotpoolandpatio.com.
Support comes from Lindner Center of Hope, offering a community education workshop Sunday, May 7th, with customizable sessions on topics including eating disorders, addiction, anxiety, OCD, and more. Keynote speaker Susie Faber-Hamilton, former middle distance runner and Olympian, will share her inspirational story. Registration at lindnercenterofhope.org/ED2017.
Support comes from sustaining members like you and from the Taft Theater, presenting legendary jazz artists Herb Alpert and Lonnie Hall, Tuesday, May 2nd at the Taft Theater. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com and the Taft Theater box office. Herb Alpert and Lonnie Hall, Tuesday, May 2nd at the Taft Theater.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. And joining us to answer your gardening questions are Campbell County Extension Office Horticulture Agent Sarah Stoles, Community Garden Manager with Turner Farm Joshua Jones, and Boone County Cooperative Extension Horticulture Agent David Kester. And you can join us 513-419-7100, email talk@WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And we got a question from Gina. She says her son gave her twigs of fiery red dogwood. Now, one grew roots and bloomed several months ago, and she kept it in water and just the other day planted the rooted one. So she's wondering, come fall, what should she do?
If it's, she should just plant that out and get as much root with it as possible, put it in the ground, put it in the right location, and it'll be fine. There's a lot of things that we can take cuttings of at this time of year and easily root them, and that's really a great learning experience for a child, and congratulations. That's a easy way to get new plants.
Yeah, and the red twig dogwood, as David said, you can propagate it easily, but it also clumps, but it's not invasive. So just know that when you do plant it, it can, enlarge itself, if you will. But it's, the red is only on the new growth. So making sure that you cut back that growth so that if you want to keep that red look on the stem throughout the winter. It obviously, one of reasons why I like it is it has all year round interest. So in the winter, it defoliates, no leaves, no flowers, but yet that red twig stem, it's just beautiful, especially if you add snow on top of that. So anyways.
513-419-7100. Martha in Cincinnati joins us. Hi, Martha.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I just tuned in just in time to hear, I guess it was the lady from the Hamilton County Extension.
From Campbell County, Sarah.
Campbell County, excuse me. Recommend that that you get kids involved with, it's glycosylphate, I guess, whatever, Roundup. And I've read a number of places recently that has been shown to have detrimental effects. Maybe to the nervous system, I don't know. But I've read that several places, and just in general, I wouldn't want to encourage kids to be around any kind of pesticide.
So, yeah, thank you.
Or herbicide.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that to my attention. Yeah,
I'm not, you were recommending using a brush to put it on, too, weren't you?
Yes, and not having, following the label, not having kids doing that application, but going around pulling out the roots, or, if they're of age and you feel confident that they can use a pruner, for example. Yeah, you don't have to use glyphosate. I'm not saying going out there and doing that. That is an option in addition to pruning back or making a cut into the stem of that. So, no, thank you for bringing that up. But sorry if that came out that way. But I'm not encouraging getting kids and having them apply that. But they can definitely get involved, and it's definitely a wonderful education opportunity to discuss removing invasive species and watching that whole habitat change come to life.
513-419-7100, and let's talk with Harry in Brown County. Hi, Harry.
Yeah, hi. I got a question. It's a tree question. And what is this green, it almost looks like a lichen or a moss or a fungus, that's growing on the trunk of trees now. It seems to be ever expanding.
That is probably exactly what you said it is. It's a lichen or a moss. Not harmful to the tree, and you're going to find different trees will be ash trees are one that, of course, we're losing our ash trees, but ash trees are ones that really seem to have a lot of lichen growth, and different trees will have that, and it's not harmful in the least. And usually you'll see it more in a forest setting where light doesn't penetrate the trunks or hit the trunks as often, but nothing to worry about.
All right, thank you. It seems to be just more and more trees are getting it. I've got bald cypress that got it. I've got red buds that have it, and I don't know.
You know, you can always take it, some of it, and have it identified exactly what it is, or maybe take a digital picture of it and send it. But I really think if it's green or the lichen, you're just it's not anything that's going to be at all harmful to your plant.
And there's no control for lichens. There's nothing organically that you can spray, for example. You know, it's just environmental. You walk out into the woods, into the forest, and you'll find it. So it's just natural.
Harry, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's talk to Karen in Northern Kentucky.
Hi. I have a question regarding a weeping willow, about a year and a half old, and it doesn't look like it's blooming yet, but it had a lot of sucklings on the bottom. Over the winter, a deer had scratched his rack on it, so I'm wondering, do you think it's dead, even though it had the sucklings growing on the bottom?
I don't think it's dead. It probably does have a lot of succulent growth coming out from the base of the plant, and that's pretty much the nature of a weeping willow. They will do that. They're not a terribly long-lived plant, and obviously the deer damaging it somewhat. You know, I'm almost positive your plant is not dead. It will sucker freely, and if you find some of those that are a little bit stronger than others, you might want to keep those and remove some of the others and just give it a little bit of time and see what's dead and what's still living.
And speaking of propagation, willow is another easy plant to propagate from stem cutting, so another fun thing to do.
Joshua, do you want to weigh in on this one?
No, when she said propagate, we've been propagating elderberries this time of year. We took cuttings and we took the native Sambucus and we've been, put them in really, really wet soil for a few days and been growing those in the greenhouse, and they're almost ready to transplant after about, I think it's been about 2 months now. So we're pretty excited about that. We're going to spread some of those native plants around.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. You can also email us, talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Nazrin sent us a question. He says, this time of year I'm seeing small white-colored bugs under my Boston ivy leaves. And he says, I'm also noticing small white-colored eggs under the leaves. And the leaves turn yellowish and they fall. So he's wondering if you've got any recommendations for how to deal with these bugs.
Boy, ivy is usually so tough and so hardy. I really don't know. I can't tell you what insect that is. If you scale, maybe, I'm not sure. You
pill may bugs. Wanna, I've been seeing pill bugs out, but
yeah,
but they're not, more gray, not white.
Yeah, you might want to bring that, or again, send us a digital picture of it. Take it to your extension office. They'll identify it and tell you exactly. I have a feeling it's not one of those that you really need to be too concerned with, but we can, identify it. And really the secret to control is knowing what you're going to war against. And a lot of times it's just not necessary to do anything. They'll change life cycle during this period and will not be an issue later on. So get it identified. That's the secret.
And it could be a beneficial insect. Not all insects are bad, so.
We were talking earlier, too, about getting rid of honeysuckle. And Kathy in Loveland wrote us, and she recommends a honeysuckle popper to get rid of honeysuckle. Says it works great. And anybody familiar with what she's talking about?
I think
about
that's the same wrench. Thing as what Sarah.
A weed wrench?
A weed wrench. Yeah.
It's a fancier term that I like, the honeysuckle popper. Okay.
513-419-7100. Larry in Cincinnati joins us. Hi, Larry.
Hi. I had a question. One of your panelists mentioned feeding the lawn only in the fall.
Right.
And, this is probably the largest lawn chemical company around. And they have a four-month program where they have you feeding in the spring with pre-emergent halts, feet and halts. In the summer, they come back with a feed and weed killer. And then in the fall, they have you feeding with a winterizer. And then so there's four feedings. And I know that's a lot of feedings, but what exactly is the correct thing to do?
Wow. We are in this area. We are in a transition zone, and to the north of us, people grow more cool season grasses exclusively. Right here in Kentucky and Cincinnati, we grow mainly cool season grasses, but we really like them to put on the majority of their growth in the fall of the year. And when you fertilize heavy in the spring of the year, you're encouraging a cool season to grass to be actively growing in the summer. And we don't really like that because they should go semi-dormant during this period, and they're much better off if they do rather than to try to compete with the heat and the low moisture content. And so the University of Kentucky recommends applying the bulk of your fertilizer during the fall of the year, maybe two applications. And our goal is really to keep a thick enough turf that is naturally weed resistant. And that's tough to do in a lot of cases. And sometimes, it is okay to put on a light spring application, but you really want that to be, as I said, a pretty light spring application.
Sue in Cincinnati joins us. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I have a hedge of honeysuckle in my backyard under my deciduous trees that my husband loves because of the privacy, but I hate because my perennials, I've gone all native, and it just aggravates me to look at it. I'm looking for a replacement that would be native. I planted a bottle brush shrub 3 years ago, and it's doing okay, but it's not, it's growing very slowly, and it isn't spreading, and I was wondering if you had any suggestions for me.
Sumac is another good one. There's a few different sumacs out there, and they will also kind of spread. I'm a believer in diversity, so maybe not just planting, an herbaceous or woody, but I love ornamental grasses, and that's kind of the quick fix if you need that instant gratification. I love the native blue stem. There's the tall, and then there's the little blue stem. So there's many others as well. So there's other.
Yeah, Sue, I don't like to take sides in these marital issues, but I think this is one where I agree with you, and I would get rid of the honeysuckle. I mean, I think that has to go. And natives are fine, but I do think there's some viburnums out there, some hydrangeas that if you want some color and some interest back there, need to get rid of the honeysuckle because they're just going to go – they're going to fruit. The birds are going to love them, and they're going to spread those seeds everywhere, and we need to get rid of that plant. So I think there's a lot better choices that you could go with.
Thank you for the call, Sue. Let's talk to Albert in Anderson Township. Hi, Albert.
Hi. Question I have is you talked about aeration. I've got a slicer that I like to run across my yard a couple times a year. It slices down about 3 inches. Want to see if that's just as effective and then put some seed down. And secondly, we get this time of the year, we get what's called, I think they call it Creeping Charlie.
Yeah.
It's a viney that grows in your yard, and I've been trying to figure out how to kill all of that.
Yeah.
Those are my two questions.
The slit seeding is great. It does not bring soil to the surface. It just makes a furrow, and 3 inches is pretty deep on that. You probably don't need to go that deep with it, and then reseeding with it is just an ideal thing because you've created some furrows, and those seeds can get down in those furrows, be in honest to goodness contact with the soil, and they will germinate pretty readily. So that is fine. You can unfortunately control creeping Charlie and seed at the same time because the creeping Charlie is going to require a 2,4-D type of product, which is going to eliminate your ability to seed for at least about a month or so. And really by then you're going to be too late for reseeding. So I would probably live with the creeping Charlie, do your reseeding, and then after you've cut the grass a couple times, if you still have issues with the weed, control it then.
Got a question from Kathleen, and she's heard of blight attacking wild dogwoods happening in Kentucky. And Sarah, David, anything on that?
Yeah, so not just dogwoods, but there are a lot of other flowering trees and shrubs at this time of year with the early spring. So yeah, so it's just a foliar leaf spot. It is a fungal disease. It overwinters on the structure, so it could either overwinter on the bark itself or on the foliage. There are organic and synthetic sprays that you can use, but it's a preventative measure. With any foliar or any fungi, it's preventative. So it's not – you're not curing what visual symptoms you see now. So you're just preventing the spread of. And they're favorable by, you know, wet conditions. Most of them are. It's all about the environment. This year, a lot of our fungal diseases emerged a little early, as we've all been talking today. You know, we've had early spring. We had, you know, warm winter. So you can spray, though I will say also if it's, you know, taller than you, you're getting on that, on the ladder, you just have to be careful and you need a
has large to be
thing.
You kind of hold up, not it'll sleep on you have there. service. want the universe that divides mind based if
worse.
Saturday.